Time to catch up with the legend that is Warnie, the AFL fantasy football expert, doing a lot of stuff for the AFL, AFL.com.au and the records, doing articles on fantasy footy, and it has taken over the world. Good morning to you, Warnie.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Oh, Warnie, we're super excited. I don't play fantasy football, nor is this my world, but I watch a show called The League.
Yes.
Which is that not a classic fantasy football? It's hilarious.
It is brilliant. I love watching that every week. It's actually finished up now, which is a little bit of a shame. But, that's a fantastic show, and I think it's pretty much how I live my life every day.
Yeah.
Hey, Warnie, do you have any idea of how many people around Australia are into fantasy football? Do you have the AFL have records?
Yeah, well, there's been a few hundred thousand has played over the years, so it's pretty big. We've probably a little bit down this year. I think people are probably realising how much of an addiction it could be, and it's a little bit of a worry. But yeah, I think that's the thing. It's a great game where you can get really involved with playing and, well, I guess, taking in every bit of football you can and having a lot of fun with your mates. So I think the numbers will be back up again very soon.
All right, Warnie, now for the uninitiated, talk us through how it works. Because you see, when you're watching football, sometimes they say, oh, he's scored 27 points or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that means. Can you walk me through it for the beginner?
Well, pretty simply, you get points for what you do out on the ground. So really simply in the AFL fantasy game, 3 points for every kick you get, 2 for a handball, 3 for a mark and so on. You get 6 points if you kick a goal. But what we love the most are the 4 points for the tackles, because you can rack up a few of those and the players that tackle a lot of great kicks for the game.
Yeah,
the
right.
The old S-Mac would have dominated in that category.
You just don't play anymore. and that brings me to my next point. Can I choose anyone that's ever played? Do they have to currently be playing so I have to watch the show? Can I choose Superman?
Well, yeah, you have to pick players that are in the league at the moment. So, and they've all got a different price value to them. So there's a few different ways to play fantasy, but the most popular one is the salary cap game, where you get $10 million at the start of the season and players are priced accordingly. So if they've had great seasons in the past, they're going to be more expensive. So you're going to pay your top dollar for blokes like Gary Ablett through to your rookies, your draftees that are down at the basement price. So, and the plan is to try to make your team better as the season goes on. So you might pick sort of breakout players and those sorts of guys that are going to go up in value, and then you might sell them off later, a little bit like the stock market, and hopefully by the end of the season you can have a team full of stars.
Yeah, that's always the aim. You play other teams week in, week out, and the highest score wins. With this at the moment, Warnie, over here in WA, obviously, I'm reeling from Fremantle's start to the season, been horrendous.
Mm.
A lot of their players would have dropped significantly in value, I would have thought.
Yeah, well, Michael Barlow was one that I was big on because he spent a bit of time in the forward line last year, so his price was actually down a bit on what his best output is. Like, he's someone that's averaged over 100 in the past, so I picked him up thinking he was a bit of a bargain, but he's actually dropped in value, which is a little bit disappointing. Hopefully, as the Dockers pick it up, he's better with a lot of other guys, but you've still got your blokes like Matt Fyfe, who is smashing it this year. He's actually having his best season that he's had in the past in fantasy, because the last three games he's gone 121, 122 and 137, and I think anyone that scores over 100 you're pretty happy with, and he's smashing through those figures.
Yeah, mate, the whole thing is so intriguing to me. I absolutely love it. When do you get your setup done by? Is there a time before the game that it has to be
So there's a Friday night lockout, which is nice because you can get yourself organized after work on a Friday or throughout the week, or as I do, probably spend about 20 hours of my work time, which I won't tell my boss about, playing with my team and working out my best lineup. So when the first game kicks off, you are locked away, which is nice, and you can put your feet up, but then you pretty much waste all of your phone battery over the weekend refreshing your scores.
Oh, you got it.
Okay, big question. Have you ever missed your deadline to set your lineup?
I have actually been caught on a flight, and that was devastating. It got delayed. The flight was delayed, and so I missed the lockout. But lucky that I had it all relatively set. I only missed a couple of little things. So
does that mean you just have to run with the team that you had from the weekend before?
Yeah, so you pretty much have your same team all season, but you get two trades every week to use. So,
right.
And the way that you use those are for injuries or as well, like I was saying before.
You try
to build your team. And so, like this week, I'll be trading guys that have been a little bit down for me, and I'll be getting on the guys that are showing the form at the moment. And so that's what it's all about, sort of managing your team, sort of almost being a bit like Ross Lyon and going, you've been terrible,
rubbish.
See you later.
But knowing that, say, Freo are playing cards. Carlton this week, you would expect them to have a win and that somebody like Michael Barlow might. Yeah, so you're not going to drop
exactly.
him this week.
Exactly, and that's the sort of stuff that you do. You look at some fixtures and you see who's got a nice draw coming up and those sorts of things, and that's probably where those 20 hours goes, running the spreadsheet. Yeah.
Wow.
Looking at the history.
Well, so, funnily enough, on that, Essendon have been one of the teams that have been strong throughout that, regardless of their position on the ladder, which has been interesting.
So actual form is not a reflection of fantasy form?
Well, not necessarily, but certain, because it's all individual players and how they're going, but the Bombers have been surprising. I'm a Bombers supporter, so I was probably expecting that we wouldn't even have a win, and didn't even think that I'd have too many Bombers boys, but yeah, two of them, David Zaharakis and Zach Merritt, have been the two of the top four players at the moment, and they've turned up in every game, so that's making coaches of them pretty happy. And despite me talking them up in the preseason, I actually didn't pick them myself, so I'm not a real good expert.
Yeah, right. So we have Pavan Masto in here every week, right? And so if we off air found out that Masto, his injury wasn't that bad and he was going to be playing that weekend, but they were keeping it hush-hush, that would be gold information
that's
for
like
you,
wouldn't
it? That's
insider trading.
And that's what it is. It's nice. We've actually sort of met a few guys across the time, and we'll get a message saying, oh, yeah, I'm looking good this week. So make
sure put me back in. I'm good for 100 points.
So now that you are contracted to provide content for that AFL, does that mean you would reveal that sort of stuff, Warnie, or you keep that pretty close to your chest?
No, I'm still playing against all my mates in my league, so I'm keeping everything close to my chest. But no, we do try to give out as much good advice as we can, and across our podcasts and videos, we do often get to speak to some players, and they get some great insight. It's really funny when you see some of the guys like Dane Swan, for example. He's one of the best fantasy players in the land because he just racks up possessions after possessions, and he plays fantasy footy, and he loves it. And so we got him on the podcast in the preseason. I think it was about 20 minutes, and everyone, you know, he's a bit of a larrikin, but he had his
game. Does he have himself on his own team?
He does pick himself. Yeah, he tries to pick himself, and that's probably why he scores.
Good motivation.
So well. That is hilarious, though.
You lay that extra tackle.
Yeah,
you?
If you know you crap that week, you don't put yourself in. That's hilarious.
So, Warnie, we'll let you go after this, mate. I want to know, for all the people out there, who you've been using as your captain most regularly over the last couple of weeks, and you're looking to change up things.
I've actually been shocking with my captains. I had Tom Rockliffe when he got injured for 20-odd points. But I think that your go-to guys have got to be like Gary Ablett. I'm a big fan of Tom Mitchell as well. He racks up plenty of touches for Sydney. And I think, it'd be nice to have someone like when Josh Kennedy has a big game, because in round one, he had 180 points when he kicked that big bag. Yep. So they're the sorts of guys that can get you over the line. So you really have to look at who's playing who and all that sort of stuff, because it does actually help you get your double points for your captain, and it can be the difference between a winner or a loss.
These players these days are great, but let's take you back to some classic football days when Sean McManus was playing.
Old Poodlehead was running around for the Dockers.
I believe you've crunched some numbers you've worked out the statistics of whether Sean will be someone we'd choose or not.
Well, we're not going to put him in the Gary Ablett category. Season average, a career average of 66.7. That's not a great one, but they had a couple of good seasons in there.
Rubbish.
2003, averaging 72, which was a pretty high score for back then, because there's a lot more disposals and all that sort of stuff happening in the modern era, if we want to call that modern. Sorry, Sean. that was a great season, a great return there. 13 fantasy tons, that's not a bad effort, but the best score that I found was back against St Kilda in 2006, 20 kicks and 8 handballs. Always nice to kick more than your handball in fantasy footy. 8 marks, 2 tackles and 3 snags.
3 goals?
That was 127 points.
I don't remember any of that. I've been hit in the head so many times. But what they didn't do was tackles all the time. Like they had completed tackles. These days, you just wrap your arms around someone and you get a tackle.
Counts.
I would add 15-20 a game. That's it. Easy.
But one thing I did find when I was crunching my numbers is in the last game, it was the Derby, and racked up a ton in your final game. And not many players can say that they tunned up in fantasy in their final game of footy.
Hey, Warnie, I was under a lot of pressure because the TAB had markets out on how many tackles and how many kicks and how many handballs I'd get. And it was against David Wirrapunda. in of those things, and I was under a lot of pressure from people from the outside to wanting me to get those so that they can collect from
Sean's really enjoying this conversation. As he was answering that question to you just then, he was tickling his nipples. And I'm not even joking.
That is actually true.
Keep talking, Warnie. I'm getting lower.
I'm not joking. Everybody at home, he was just like playing with his nipples.
He loves it when people tell him he did something good. Warnie, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
No worries. Good luck to all fantasy coaches this week. Your captain comes up.
That's it, brother. It's 19 past 7.